way different than what I normally do, because I'm just going to just sort of pour my heart out to you just for a few minutes. We call this a youth rally preparation service. 40 days from tonight begins our youth rally. For you that have never been a part of it, it's a whole lot of work. Last year we had over 1,000 people. We had over 50 churches represented. And had about, I think, 50 or 60 kids saved. And it's a lot of work. We feed them. We put in chairs. We put in decorations. We put in advertising. And we put a whole lot into the services. So tonight, what I'm going to do is y'all just pour my heart out to you just a little bit. If you'll take your Bible and open to Mark chapter 9. Won't be long, but I'm just going to get this off my heart tonight. Normally, we take these 40 days and we prepare for the Giant Spring Youth Rally. And tonight, I want to read a verse that I've read many times. And you go to church everywhere in the country, and you won't hear this verse preached on hardly none. You just don't hear it. But it's in the Bible, and the Lord said it, so we got to do it. And He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. He said, you can't just have one of these. You got to have both. Prayer and fasting. If all you do is fast and don't pray, it ain't going to happen. If all you do is pray and don't fast, it ain't going to happen. Prayer and fasting. Ain't that what the Lord said? He said there's some task so great. There's some mountain so high. There's some task so hard and difficult that the only way you can make it through it is prayer and fasting. In the past few years, I've put a lot of emphasis on the fasting. And fasting is pushing the plate back and doing without food so that you may have God's blessings on your life. Physical nourishment. That's what fasting is. Tonight, I'm going to put a little more emphasis on both. Fasting and prayer. I know Christians that have been saved for years and years and years that have never fasted and never even heard it preached on. That's sad. Because the Lord fasted. He fasted 40 days. And then the devil came to tempt to him. Moses went on that 40-day fast. When he was up in the mountains, and God gave him 10 commandments, he brought them down, never ate a bite for 40 days. Daniel, over in Daniel chapter 7 or 8, long in there, when Daniel fasted, he was on a 21-day fast there in the book of Daniel. There's all kinds of benefits of fasting. Of course, there's spiritual, that's the main reason. But there's physical, there's mental, and all kinds. As you know, I've practiced fasting for many, many years. I don't say that to brag. I say that so that you can know, set an example for you. 1990 is when I started fasting on a regular basis. I was going through so much trouble that I had to have help. I said, Lord, you've got to help me. And I said, the only way I'm going to make it through my trouble is I'm going to have God power on my life. So I chose Wednesday, and every Wednesday I would fast. And I still do that to this day. And that's been 25 years ago, real soon, here in the next probably few months. And I, almost every Wednesday since then, I would fast. I do not say that, Brian. You're not even supposed to tell people about your fasting. But I tell you that so that I'm telling you I know what I'm talking about, what it works. On the day that I fast, it seems like I can think quicker. My mind's clear. And it definitely. I remember J. Harold Smith. He was a great preacher. And he fasted 40 days. I've never done that. I've never been a long faster. I fast often, but I don't fast long. I've just never done it. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 friends of mine that have fasted 40 days. And there's people sitting in this room right here tonight that have been on 40-day fast. And J. Harold Smith said that he fasted 40 days one time. And he said after that 40 days, he said his skin was clear as a child. He's way up nearly 70 years old. He said his mouth, his tongue was pink as a baby's. He said the spots on his skin all cleared up. Now he said that it was an amazing physical benefit of fasting. Now the reason that is because your body, when you shovel food down in there all the time, all your body can do is just bust it up, just bust it up. You got this little crew down there working, and they got hammers, and you throw them down an apple, bam, they start working on it. That's your digestive system. They start working on that apple, bam, here's a biscuit, hits them in the head. Then they start chopping on that biscuit, and they start working on that biscuit, and about that time, ice creamimus comes on down. And then about that time, cake comes on down. And about that time, they say, man, is he never going to quit? I mean, he must make golden crow or something. And about that time they sit down, wham, here comes a big dose of Pepsi. And then after that, and then they start swinging their hammers back and forth, and he gets stomachache, has to go get Rolaids and Alka-Seltzers and everything else because his stomach's a killing. And then you know what we do? We say, I can't wait for supper. Ain't that the way we are? That's the way we usually are. Bible said their God is their belly. And that's what's wrong with us in this country. Our God's our belly. I ain't fussing at you. I love go-gone crowd. Man, I love steak. I can eat steak on a full stomach. I mean, you wake me up in the middle of the night and say, I'm ready, brother. But listen, it's better for you to fast, just like the Lord said. I had a friend of mine who's a preacher in Montana. And I go up there, used to go up there and preach for him. And he told me, he said, Danny, he said, I was having real bad ear infections. He said, every now and then I'd get an ear infection. He said, my ear would kill me. He said, I'd have to go to the doctor, and the only thing they could do for me was get me an antibiotic. And he said, I'd take that antibiotic, and a couple of few days, my ears would clear up. And as you know, antibiotics are not good for you. And he said, that's the only thing we do it. And he said, our church got to where it was a little down. And he said, we started fasting. And he said, me and the men of our church, we started getting together on Saturday and having prayer meeting. And he said, we fasted. He said, we wouldn't eat until Sunday morning after the Sunday morning service. We'd go all Saturday afternoon and then Sunday morning. And he said, we would eat Sunday afternoon. And he said, you know what? He said, our services become completely transformed. He said, God's power started coming down. He said, the Spirit of the Lord started coming in our church. He said, somebody gets saved. God's blessed. He said, the Lord started blessing our church. And then he said, I noticed that my ears cleared up. He said it was the strangest thing. He said it was like the Lord touched my ears and healed them or something. He said I never did get an ear infection after that. Now, there's a medical reason behind that. You ever seen when a dog gets hit by a car or a dog gets hit, you know what? He won't eat. You know why it don't eat? Because all the blood and everything in his body is going to that place that's hurt, his leg or whatever, to heal it. When you don't eat, the blood goes to that place wherever you're hurting and heals it. Ladies and gentlemen tonight, that's why we fast. That's why we fast. Ladies and gentlemen, the youth rally does not come about and is not great just because there's a big crowd there. I mean, we had chaos. Remember all them kids we had there one time? We have some wild kids at our youth rally. This is not a bunch of church kids coming together. I'm telling you, brother, they some gangsters. I'm telling you, Lord in mercy, we had a fight break out a couple few years ago. Remember somebody got in a fight? How many of y'all was out that night? And the whole four rows in the back went, chairs got knocked over. People was out there in the back parking lot. It was wild, man. I'm telling you, I don't know how we ever got them back in there. Somebody finally got them settled down. That's the kind of folks coming to the youth rally. And that's good. That's good. Amen. That's what you want. Jesus come after sinners. And boy, we got some sinners. That old boy from down Rock Hill, he brings about 60 or 70. Good night. Good night. I mean, you don't have to go looking for a fight. I was telling you last Sunday when I had a lady bust me out over at the ball game the other night, and I must have been doing something right, because, man, we getting it every way we turn. I guess you heard about what happened to us yesterday. We didn't over where you went with us the other day. It was me and Kelly and Brian over there. Let me tell you what happened yesterday on bus route. We was over at Trailer Park over in town, and we went and
It was her idea. She said, let's go to that one's house because we knocked on this door, this trailer, and we heard somebody coming down the... You know, you can hear them walking in them little trailer. I heard somebody coming. I said, they're coming to the door. They're coming to the door. And about that time, this woman opened the door. I thought it was one. I don't know what it was. I tell you what it looked like. One of them old rockers. You know Keith Richards that plays on the Rolling Stones? You know who Keith... That's what he said. That's Keith Richards. Mick Jagger's buddy. I mean, he's had hair up like that and sunglasses on. And it opened the door and said, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Wham! Slammed the door in our face. I went, what in the world? And so we went around the back and this... Her TV's laying out in the yard. She throwed her TV out. And the Bible was laying there, and it was soaking wet. It had been raining. And I picked her Bible. I said, I'm going to let that Bible lay there. And I picked it up like that, and tried, and I laid it in the sun on her front porch, and went around the back, and the back window was busted out of the trailer, and she had a blanket or something hanging up, and her and Kim went around the back and started talking to her, and they got something out of her and started talking to her. Well, anyway, long story short, we went back yesterday. And yesterday... We knocked on the door again. Heard somebody coming down the hall. I said, here she comes. Here she comes. She's here. We're going to get to talk to her. And I thought, well, maybe today she'll be nice. And I was bad wrong. Son, I'm telling you, she didn't open the door. She came to the window. And it was you blankety blank, 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 blank. Lord, she called us. She cussed the blue streak. And she said, get off of my property. We said, have a nice day, ma'am. And we walked around to get in the car, and she come out the side, and she had a pot. And I said, maybe she's going to be nice now. You know, stupid me. I thought, I always give people the benefit of a doubt. I thought, she's going to be nice now. And I rolled the window down. I had that little jet on her side. And son, she took that pot, and it was full of beans, and she slung them beans at us. And I'm sorry. And I rolled it up real fast. And we ain't got that car tonight, do we? You can still see them. It's all over the back of that little Jetta. She slung beans at us. So you know what that means? We're on the right track. Amen. We're on the right track. Everybody needs to go out and get some beans slung at you now and then. Good for you. Good for you. A little persecution won't hurt you. It's good for you. But anyway, y'all pray for that, dear soul. I'm gonna let y'all two visit her this coming Saturday. She was nice when y'all talked to her. I believe it, man. She didn't like me, that's for sure. But anyway, how are you going to deal with people like that? How are we going to get the gospel to people that have... she was out there, buddy. I ain't kidding you. You're only by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. This week, I made up my mind. Last Sunday night, I went out of here, and I said, God, I want you to do something. Lord, will you please do something? So, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, every night this week, late about 10 o'clock, I take my Bible, go up into the closet in my bedroom, and got down and prayed. And I got a list. I don't think I got it in this notebook. I got it in my other one. And I got just about everybody in here, your name wrote down on that list, and you're in your family. I don't think there's anybody in here, maybe just a couple, a few, that I don't have written on that list. And I pray for every one of y'all every night this week. And I pray God would bless your family. And I said, God, please, we need your help. We need your help. Church ain't supposed to be boring. Kids ain't supposed to sit in the back and just play on the cell phone all the time and not feel no conviction and no... I said, God, help our church. I don't want to go to church where it's boring and dead and dry and nothing happened. And I said, God, please, God, please. Ever not this week. God, please, God, please. Boy, I come in this morning, it was a fight. And I preached a sermon on hell. Her son come over and got saved. John back over there come over and got saved. We had two young men saved by God's grace this morning. And I'm telling you, the old-fashioned preaching and praying is still works, people. It still works. And we're going to fast. We're going to fast by God's grace. Somebody said, the only footprints on the sands of time are left after somebody's knee prints. You're better off to have a heart without words than the words without heart. You ever heard somebody, they can pray these big wonderful, beautiful prayers, but their heart ain't in it. Said a man, preacher got up one time. He said, all right, before I preach, deacon so-and-so, you lead us in prayer. And that deacon said, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath day. You know, same old stuff he says every week. And boy, he got through, and that preacher looked down at him and he said, son, your heart's cold as a block of ice. And it's not the words you say with your mouth. It's condition of our heart. You know, the Lord looks at our heart, people. The Lord looks at our heart. And I'm glad that He does. I'm glad that He does. You willing to fast? I read a story. In April 1912, the night the Titanic, the real thing, when the Titanic went down, and that there's a woman whose husband was on that ship. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, they didn't have phones, they didn't have TV, most people didn't even know the Titanic went down till the next day or the next week, and they put that list up in New York City. They didn't even know the thing sunk. And she woke up with a burden for her husband. And she woke up and it just tore up. She said, my husband, Lord. And the Lord said, pray, pray. And she got down and prayed. 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, she's saying, God, please, I don't know what's wrong, but help him. God, please, I don't know what's wrong, but please, God, help him. And at 5 o'clock in the morning, the burden left her. And she says, all right, everything's going to be all right. And she went back to sleep. And she found out a couple of days later, Titanic went down. Her husband was saved. And when he came, he hugged her neck. And she told him, she said, honey, I didn't even know it, but God woke me up and told me to pray. And I prayed for you at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. And he said, I was out on the Atlantic grabbing a hold of pieces of board and wood and everything else. And he said, at 5 o'clock that morning, the lifeboat come by and rescued me. Right the second that she got the Victory home. Let me tell you something, people. God knows. He knows. He knows who's going to be at the youth rally. He knows your cousin, how mean he is. He knows your brother and sister's kids, how rotten they are. He knows your teenagers, how rebellious they are. And God's able to get a hold of every one of them if we'll pray and pay a price for it. Pay a price. You say, well, preacher, I can't fast. And the answer to that is, yes, you can. You say, I'm diabetic. You can go a few hours. You can go 4 hours. Then next time, go 5 hours. If you die, I'll preach your funeral for free. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I'm going to tell you something, bro. Hey, man, what a way to go, huh? Old Doug Fisher, preacher friend of mine out in California, he passes out in San Diego, and the first time he fasted 40 days, he lost 57 pounds. And man, he everything, all his blemishes on his skin, everything, he just like a teenager, and him 40 years old, and he God moved in his church, God moved in his life. I've never done that, I'm not telling you to. I'll tell you what you can do. Almost every fast in the Bible is a one-day fast. The most common fast in the Bible was one day. Sometimes it's 3, sometimes it's 7, sometimes it's 21, sometimes it's 40. But the most common is 1. So people ask me, what do? If you were going to fast tomorrow, you go on tonight, say it's maybe you eat something tonight, 8 or 9 o'clock, and fast 24 hours to tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock tomorrow night. 24-hour fast. And during that time, in the morning, your stomach will say, we're going to die. You know we're going to die. You know, they'll play tricks on you, man. Have you ever tried to miss just one meal? You think, I tell you, man, it's psychological. About half that stuff's in your head. You know how I know that? Because I don't ever eat breakfast. I usually eat about 12:30, 1 o'clock every day. And I know breakfast is the most important meal. I just eat it at 12:30. So hush, don't try to help me. I eat 12:30 every day. And I don't even get hungry until 12:30. And I'm little, but I can eat, brother. If you don't believe it, take me out once in a while, you cheapskates. Hint, hint. But listen. Bunch of cheapskate church members. Ain't no wonder you got a poor little scrawny pastor. Starving to death. But seriously, I can eat a lot. But I can go without Monday, Tuesday, 12:30. Don't even get hungry till 12:30. Then on Wednesday, when I know I'm fasting, at 10 o'clock, I said, man, I'm hungry. It's just 10 o'clock. 10:30. Oh. I said, well, I wasn't like that yesterday or the day before. Just your flesh knowing that you're not going to let it have what it wants starts squirming, don't it? Man, it'll fight you. It'll fight you. You better throw me something down here. I'll hurt you. I'll give you the bellyache. Let me tell you something, brother. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do it. God will bless you. All the way through the Bible, they fasted. Moses, Jonathan Edwards, preached that great sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And I mean, it shook the town, buddy. Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, if you went to the right kind of school, was required reading in elementary. They used to be in the school. They don't have the schools no more. Because it's too biblical and too hellfire. And Jonathan Edwards stood and read that famous sermon. Stood and read it. And people grabbed a hold of them seats like that, afraid they was going to fall into hell. That's how much power there was in that service. And what a lot of people didn't know was that Jonathan Edwards did not eat a bite or sleep 3 days before that service. He paid a price. He paid a price. Now you know there's enough people in here this evening, and I'm going to hush in just a minute. There's enough people in here this evening, if every one of us would do our part, the Lord would send a great and mighty youth rally. Our little dog, Marley, ain't our dog. It's my nephew's dog. He lives down below us. Best way to have a dog is let it be your neighbor's dog. That way you don't have to worry about it. If you feed it all right, if you don't, all right. Marley don't even look like a dog. Bless her heart. If you saw Marley, I've had people say, what is that? She looks like one of them, what do you call them little things? Hyena. That's what it looks like. Tasmanian devil. And bless her heart, it's the ugliest dog you ever seen in your life. But she is most loyal and most faithful. Tonight, when we go home, she'll run across the yard, and right when I get to the top of the hill, she'll run across in front of my car, just making sure that we see her, know we're home. And then we'll get out. She'll be just down there looking at us like this. She's not a smart aleck. She don't come slobbering all over you, jumping all over you like them stupid bulldogs do. Corey's got an English bulldog. They're all retarded, every one of them. That thing, he'll tackle you. He'll come knock you down. Marley just stand there and look at you. And I say, how you doing, Marley? And then we go in the house, start pulling out some peanut butter and crackers, start fixing something. Look, there she is outside just looking at him. And I'm telling you, boy, after a while I start thinking, bless her heart. And I'll fix her up something. I fix up something, put it in her bowl. Yeah, I just can't stand thoughts are out there just watching us eat in the kitchen and wanting something. And you know what? If a sorry old person like me feels that compassion on a dog, how do you think the Lord looks at? Every time He looks down here, we're looking at that. Lord, would You help us? Lord, would You help me? Lord, would You help me? Just turn the TV off. Lord, would You help me? I'll be honest with y'all tonight, Lord. Folks, this wasn't much of a sermon I preached tonight. But I feel like we need some help. You don't hear me say that very often. We need some help. I feel like some of my closest friends have deserted me. Sometimes I feel like, good night, people you thought would stand with you forever. Just walk off and leave. Just, hey, heck with you. Do whatever you want to. And you know what? We need help. We've got a God that can do anything. George Mueller prayed for 5 men for something like 50 years. And he had these 5 men he prayed for. After a year and a half, one of them got saved.
After 5 years, another one got saved. After 12 years, another one got saved. And he prayed 40 more years, 52 years, before the next one got saved. And all four of them got saved, and then he died, and the fifth one got saved after he was dead and gone. Because he just kept saying, Lord, will you help me? I'm going to ask you tonight, would you pay a price for the next 40 days? Prayer and fasting. Now you know I'm going to ask you to fast. But I'm going to ask you to pray and fast. Every time you feel a little bit of hunger, Lord help us. Lord, please bless that youth rally. Move. Lord God, do something in our hearts. You know why the Lord moved this morning? Because we prayed. I prayed every night this week hard. They had that ball game on last night, and I really wanted to watch that ball game. And I told Kelly, I ain't watching that ball game. I'm going to go upstairs and pray. And I think I watched about 30 seconds of it. I heard I didn't miss much. But I said, Lord, I'm going to pray. And that's what it takes. That's what it takes. Let's be willing to pay a price and push that plate back. Push that plate back. Now, you might go the full day. If you go the full day, that means you eat tonight and go all day tomorrow and tomorrow night and don't eat till Tuesday morning. Try it. You say, what do you drink? Water. Some people drink juice. In the Bible, they drink water. In the Bible. And some people drink juice, whatever. But you do that, and God will bless us at the youth rally. I want to have... Just bow our heads, please. Just bow your head, please, just for a minute. Now, Miss Desi, I want you to come and play something softly. Let's just have a minute of prayer here tonight together.